your Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Tuesday, October 13th. Your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that was expecting to be talking about our prospects, but we also have a new defenseman to talk about. So that's exciting.
It is. Kind of came a little out of nowhere, but good on Chuck Fletcher for making a move.
Yeah. To make sure you're up to date in all of the Flyers moves, make sure you subscribe to us, Locked On Flyers. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure you get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. And we are your hosts. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Rachel.
And today we are going to talk about the new defenseman and a few other signings that the Flyers made. And then we will get into really good conversation about our first overall pick in this year's draft, Tyson Forster, with Ryan Noble from Very Berry Colts. He joins us to talk all about Tyson. And then, of course, we will wrap up with our Flyers fun thing. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. So make sure you share or retweet the podcast to your friends. And you can also send us any of your questions for our weekly mailbag. Let us know how you think about the signing or the draft prospects. If you don't have Twitter, you can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. So before the Flyers signed a defenseman, they signed fourth round pick of the 2020 draft, Zade Wisdom, to an entry-level contract. So super excited for Wisdom. I'm not surprised he was the first out of all of the 2020 draft picks, but I'm super excited that the Flyers have signed him.
Yeah, it was a little quick considering he is a fourth round draft pick, but I think he is, of all the draft picks, the one that they're the most enthusiastic about potential-wise, and it doesn't kick in for a couple years, obviously. So I think that it's really good to show confidence in him as well, and it kind of works both ways.
Yeah, definitely the both ways. I think that he's really excited, and he really wants to make this work, and it's good that the Flyers feel the same. So I was very happy about that. And then, of course, it happened almost right before we recorded. The Flyers signed free agent defenseman Erik Gustafsson to a one-year contract worth $3 million. Gustafsson recorded 29 points, 6 goals, 23 assists, and 66 regular season games between the Blackhawks and the Flames. And in the postseason, he had 4 assists in 10 games with the Flames. Erik Gustafsson, Rachel, what were you thinking when you saw this news?
Well, first I was wondering if it was like the old Erik Gustafsson that used to be on the Flyers, but obviously it's not a different guy, same name. But it's a very interesting and strategic signing, I think, that it fills the need for a defenseman, but it raises a couple of questions in terms of where he might play in the lineup, given that he's a puck-moving defenseman, kind of similar in play to Shane Gostisbehere, and is known for playing on the power play as well. So, it'll be interesting to see how the lineup shakes out and if this means that there are additional moves afoot by management.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I was thinking that he fills a need, but not the need that we were thinking. I don't think that the Flyers are going to put him on the first pair with Provorov, but I have seen others speculate that he might slot in with Sanheim on that second pair. And so, honestly, that's what I prefer, because I'd rather him there than Justin Braun. No offense to him. Yeah, he does. He definitely adds some questions, but it'll be interesting to see if he plays on the power play. And, you know, it's hard to say that you don't like Provorov on the power play, but I feel like Flyers fans know that it's just, I don't know, it's just something you don't prefer, even though he scores on the power play. It's just a very weird relationship with Provorov on the power play. So if there's another person that could help the power play, I'm all for that. So definitely some bright spots, but then a lot of questions as well.
Yeah, and it's also important to note that Gustafsson kind of had a down year this past season, and that his previous season with the Blackhawks was actually quite good. So, you know, this is a kind of a redemption year for Gustafsson, and hopefully that'll be some extra motivation.
And it really is kind of low risk for the Flyers, the fact that he's only signed for a year. It's only $3 million. So, you know, this is a very Flyers move in my opinion. But with that signing, Cap Friendly tweeted out that the Flyers have $5.7 million in projected cap space after signing Gustafsson, and then they still have to sign Philip Myers and Nolan Patrick. So just an update on that.
Yeah, and we have until the 18th of October to find out if the qualifying offers that the Flyers made to Myers and Nolan Patrick are accepted.
And knowing our Flyers boys, they might take it all the way to the wire. Just thinking back on Konechny and Provorov.
Exactly.
All right, so without further ado, let's jump into our conversation with Ryan Noble from Very Berry Colts about Tyson Forrester. All right, so as we previewed, we are joined by Ryan Noble, a writer and podcaster from Very Berry Colts. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to talk with the both of you today.
We are super excited to talk to you because we are going to be talking about the Flyers' first-round pick, Tyson Forrester. So let's jump in. Many scouts and people who have followed the Colts describe Forrester's last season with the Berry Colts as a really good player on a bad team. How would you describe the 2019-20 season for the Colts?
I think this past season was a really, really tough one for Berry. I mean, everything started off just with the news of Dale Hawerchuk and his cancer, and then we ended up finding out that he wouldn't be with the team for the season. So, I mean, obviously Dale was a huge part of the players in Berry. He's been around for what feels like forever, just over a decade. So it was a big adjustment, and then to have to worry about changing the coaching staff up, kind of like not scrambled, but when they brought in Warren Reichel, you know, things kind of started out okay with him. But it was the big thing during Reichel's time up until the trade deadline, which is when he ended up getting fired. The team was decent. Consistency was the big thing. They couldn't scrape more than a few wins straight, and then they would go on like a 5 to even as high as 8 game losing streak. Also with the trade deadline, you know, it was pretty clear that the team was not going to really be contending for anything. So they pretty much started selling everybody. Obviously, Ryan Suzuki got traded, Tyler Tucker, just a bunch of Matei Pekar, a bunch of guys who had been big producers for the team. So while I think that if you look at the team, they weren't necessarily great, I think all things considered, they really didn't have that bad of a year. Even just looking at the standings, I mean, they finished their division second place. And had the season, you know, continued, they had a good chance of catching Sudbury and getting the top spot in the Central Division. I think it's fair to say that it wasn't a great team, but I think considering a lot of the adversary that they had to deal with, and a lot of the struggles with the coaching, having three changes in a season, you know, it could have been a lot worse, I think, than it was.
You know, Rachel, Tyson has taken quarantine and the stay-at-home order as time to work on his skating. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot for ourselves, but throughout quarantine and staying at home, I have tried to work on my car because that's something that I never thought I could do. But, you know, it's so useful if you can. And one way I do that is by using rockauto.com. Rock Auto is not like other chain stores that have different prices for professional mechanics or people like myself that prefer to do it themselves. All of their prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. They have the lowest prices possible rather than changing the prices based on the market. And rockauto.com is literally for everybody, and it doesn't even require a membership or an account login.
No, and that's just part of the reason why I love rockauto.com too. they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years and are just super reliable. If you go to rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts, tail lamps, motor oils, whatever you need. You can get it all in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So as the weather has been changing, you know, I have just been feeling it. It's getting darker earlier. You don't have like, it's not light outside at 8 o'clock at night. And I mean, it really just affects me. So one thing that I've been doing is using Built Go, especially when I've hit a wall. Built Go is a healthy replacement for an energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It's lasting and natural. It gives you 5 hours of energy without the same crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And the best part is that it's super easy to take it with you on walks, a workout, or just throughout the day. It fits right in your pocket.
And you know, we've been talking about Built Bars for forever, and it's from the same company that makes Built Bars. So you know the ingredients are healthy, safe, and it's going to taste amazing. Built Go has 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, which of course reminds me of the sandwiches I used to have as a kid, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's got B3, B6, B12, honey, and that kick of caffeine you need.
So visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com.
So the first thing that we heard about Tyson is that he has an amazing shot, especially when he parks himself at the top of the left faceoff circle. What do you think it is about his shot that makes him such an offensive force?
I mean, I don't want to just say everything because it just seems like a quick, lazy answer. But I mean, it's really everything. He's so quick with his release. And it seems that he has control over the shot, no matter the quality of the pass. I saw some, like, few instances where, like, guys would get the puck over to him, and it's like, ugh. But then the guy still ends up getting, like, a top corner rocket off. He's just got insane accuracy. And while his slap shot is something that's been discussed the most, he's got a very, very good wrist shot as well, and he's very deceiving with it. He's constantly psyching goalies out with, you know, fake shots and then just roofing it in the opposite corner. His release is just so fast, and it doesn't seem that the goalies that he, especially in the OHL that he's been playing against, are able to kind of prepare themselves for it. And he's got a really good snapshot as well. He's so good at just getting the puck on the net, and he can pretty much put it wherever he wants it every time. So if he can keep developing what he has already, I mean, this guy's got the potential to score a lot of goals at any level.
You just made all the Flyers fans listening so happy. I mean, we've been waiting for a goal scorer and just a prospect with this type of shot for so long. But one thing that the Flyers seem to love about Forster is not only his shot, but that he's so good at reading the play and creating offensive pressure for his line. Can you go into that aspect of his game?
Yeah, I mean, he's always on the attack, it seems like. And while, like, he plays a good 200-foot game, he's always able to intercept plays and just kind of turn things around really, really quickly. You know, he always has a good idea of where his teammates are. He's got such a high hockey IQ. And even when he came in as a rookie, you kind of could see those aspects. Even though some of his skills kind of were still developing at that time, you knew that the guy saw the game very, very well. And he's such a great playmaker. He does a really good job also of controlling the puck down low. And he's a great passer as well. We can talk about all the goals that he'd put up with Barry. He also finished the season with 44 assists, which was leading the team. by a considerable amount. I think that the next guy was rookie Brandt Clark, who I believe he had 38 this season. So there wasn't really, you know, from the goal scoring as far as that aspect, and then just setting up plays for the teammates and just kind of being responsible defensively. He's just all around. He's got a lot of skill, and I mean, Flyers fans should be really, really excited if he keeps developing the way that he has up until this point, even just after his first season, to see where he was and how far he came. He's a quick learner, and he has really good work ethic. So if there's an area in his game that he needs to work on, he's focused on putting in the work to adjust those things so that, you know, it doesn't end up hindering his game.
One of the things that scouts and, you know, draft hockey pundits were talking about Tyson on the downside was his skating. The Flyers assistant GM Brent Flair believes that the Flyers can work with him on it and that it's definitely fixable. As someone who's watched him play a lot more than we have, how would you evaluate his skating, and do you think it has hindered his play?
That was one thing that obviously myself and Ryan MacArthur and Justin Stapleton, other contributors on the website, were reading pretty much every scouting report. And that was always the one thing that people were bringing up. And we never really, it was kind of one of those things that we'd scratch our heads and discuss. I feel like Tyson's a way better skater than a lot of the scouts seem to be giving him credit for. For sure, his acceleration could improve, and he can kind of work on those first couple steps. But that'll come with him practicing. I know that he's been putting in a lot of work. Last season, when I spoke to him, he'd said that was an area that he'd worked on heavily in the off season. And in his sophomore year last season, you could see that had improved greatly. So I think his skating is good. His top speed, it never seems to be slowing him down. He never really looks like he's dragging behind anybody. I don't think that his skating is kind of as bad as some people have made it out to be. And I do know that he has been working really hard with his skating coach here, as well as with his training. I think that if he just kind of keeps putting in the work that he's been doing, I don't see this being something that people will be talking about moving forward. His size and strength has really developed, and if he just kind of keeps doing what he's been doing, I don't see it being an issue. And it certainly hasn't been an issue for him in the OHL. So while obviously there's higher expectations as far as what you need to do in the NHL, he's a very coachable player, and he's willing to put the work in. So I think skating, while it might not have been one of his strongest assets, I don't think that it's one that has prevented him from just obviously having the success that he's managed to have.
Now, this is going to seem weird to bring up as a concern, but we've talked about Tyson had 36 goals last season. 18 of those were on the power play. Some have voiced concerns about his 5-on-5 production. Do you see that as an issue, or is that just something that it just, you know, there's no concern for 5-on-5 production with him?
I don't think that the 5-on-5 is really a concern. I mean, there was a lot of movements with the roster, especially, like I said, with the trade deadline. He'd kind of really been accustomed to playing with Ryan Suzuki, which those two were just incredible together. But, you know, I think if anything, it's just more so that he's just really, really good on the power play. I mean, not only did most of his goals come that way, but a good chunk of his assists also came there, too. I mean, I could see looking at it and thinking that it's possibly a concern. Barry was constantly dealing with special teams this season. They take a absurd amount of penalties. It's been that way for years. It doesn't matter. For whatever reason, the team always lacks discipline. And, you know, so, I mean, they're always kind of moving things around. Like they've had, it was 835 penalty minutes this year. There was no other team in the league that had 800. And the majority of the teams were kind of around the 600. Sorry.
Wow, that is a big difference.
And it's been this way forever. We've been like, I mean, even just in the 6 years that I've been like covering the team for the website, we always lead the league in penalty minutes. If while we might not have had consistency on the ice as far as wins and losses, we definitely had consistency with spending time in the penalty box. And Forrester also, he spent his share of time in there as well. But he's an aggressive player and he likes to throw his body around. And sometimes the OHL is a little bit, I don't know. They call everything, and Barry seems to. It's often deserved. We don't have discipline, but you know, they spend a lot of time in the box. So unfortunately, it's just something that Colts fans have had to deal with for a while now. And it doesn't seem like it's going to change. So I think that, you know, as long as he has somebody with him that can help set him up, because, I mean, his go-to is that circle. And that's where most of his production comes from. So, I mean, you can watch pretty much any Forrester highlight video, whether it be one that we put together on the website or one that other people have put together. I mean, the majority of the video is just him shooting from that spot and scoring. So I don't think that it would be an issue. I think that he will be a very effective player at 5-on-5, but he's exceptional on the power play. He definitely specializes there.
So you mentioned a couple of times about, you know, the change in the roster and especially the Ryan Suzuki trade, but after that trade, Forster went on a 13-game point streak to close out the season with 33 points in his final 25 games. And do you think the trade actually maybe helped him reach another level in his play?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think that there's a couple reasons for that. The first one is that there was a lot of criticism early in the season for the success that Forster was having. A lot of people were kind of just saying that, well, he's playing with Ryan Suzuki, you know, it's all Suzuki. And I think that when Suzuki had been dealt, it seemed like that was a opportunity for Forrester to show that this hasn't been the case. You know, he showed that after the fact. You know, a lot of the guys that he'd been playing with were gone and his production just kept going up. And I think that It just has to do with his work ethic, like we mentioned. He works hard, he practices hard, and he keeps putting in that work. And his competitiveness really kind of makes him want to keep striving to get better. And I think that hearing a lot of the people kind of saying that, you know, what's things going to be like after Suzuki, and he just showed that his success, while Suzuki helped, it wasn't because of him. And I think another big thing, obviously, was just playing in the top prospect game and also having so much success there.
So let's talk about that prospect game. I mean, he was named player of the game for Team White. He posted 2 goals and an assist in the contest. Do you think he gained confidence playing among the elite prospects? Like, I mean, Byfield, Lafreniere. So do you think that helped him gain confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime a player can go and play with like the top players, not only in the OHL, but across all three teams in this or leagues in the CHL, you know, there's the chance for you to gain a lot of confidence from that. And Tyson's already a very confident player, but I think that game really gave him a boost. It's just kind of, you know, sometimes when you see this when especially in training camp, a lot of times when a player will go to like an NHL camp and they end up having like a decent camp, they'll come back to Barry. They always just seem like they've gained like a new confidence. And I think that he kind of got the same thing as that. You know, we saw it the other year with Tyler Tucker when he went to the St. Louis Blues camp, and Tucker was already a great player. But after a strong camp there, he just came back, and then suddenly he looked like all of a sudden he was able to score goals a lot more than he was doing before. His overall production just skyrocketed. So I think it was a similar case. It's kind of like you see with those instances. And yeah, he for sure, you know, especially he got the assist on the game winner. There was that like goal in the last second, and had that not have gone in, he would have had the game winner. So, you know, I think that not only just to have success, but to be named the player of the game for his team just really kind of boosted his confidence, which was already there, but it just kind of, it took it to another level. And as we saw after that, his game just, it elevated from there. So I think it for sure helped.
He himself has compared his play to TJ Oshie in that he can play in all situations. Can you talk about Tyson's play away from the puck?
Yeah, he's Tyson's strong in all areas, I think. I mean, the guy's just always moving his legs. So whether you think he's moving them quickly or not, he's got the compete level and he's constantly going. He's really good at applying pressure on opponents when they have the puck. He's not afraid to throw his body around. He was a lot more aggressive this year than he was in his rookie season. And I'm sure that his physical maturity was a big change in that aspect of his game. Defensively, he's also really reliable. He's always in position just because of his strong hockey IQ. He's always just reading the play so well. And he's always seems to be breaking up plays with his active stick. And then he's very quick with transitioning the puck from there. So I think that while the offensive side of his game is the most appealing part, he's a very well-rounded player. And I think that him making that comparison is a fair comparison to make of him, because he plays really well. He's aggressive. He knows where to be. He's always applying pressure on guys. And he's just very active constantly. So it's I think that that's a very fair comparison from Tyson.
You know, keeping with the comparisons, we know it's not ideal to compare prospects to NHLers because it's, you know, maybe sets the bar too high, gets the fans a little bit too excited. But, you know, besides TJ Oshie, is there a different NHLer you would compare Tyson's game to?
I mean, you know, it was funny because we were trying to figure out guys who we felt that would be a good comparison for him. And when he said TJ Oshie, that kind of fit as far as his overall game. And I actually really, really like that. I mean, like you said, you don't always like to kind of set the expectation. But I mean, you watch any, and again, not comparing that he will be the same as, but you watch any Ovechkin highlight video and he's just, they're all from that same spot. And I know Forrester was very, very influenced by him. So I'm sure that he kind of follows a lot of the playing styles of him. So, but at the same time, I think it would just be that aspect that I would compare him to. I think he's a little bit more effective as far as his defensive play. Obviously, Ovi's kind of changed a lot as he's matured. But when he came into the league, he was, I don't want to say useless defensively. but he was useless defensively, and I don't think that comparison is fair. So, you know, even a guy maybe like a Steven Stamkos, again, not to the same extent, but as far as his having that shot and having the ability to kind of play a 200-foot game might be a better comparison. Again, that might be a lot of pressure to put out there. But I think if he just kind of keeps working on his game, he's got a lot of the tools that he has. And I think that that might be a fair-ish comparison. But again, I don't always feel comfortable comparing like that. But if I were to say, I'd say probably a guy similar to Stamkos. Let's go with similar to. It just seems safer.
Yeah, it's always good to hedge your bets there.
Yeah, no, I have to do that for sure.
So one of the things that Flyers fans like is to kind of find out some things about their prospects off the ice. And the Flyers were very generous and posted a couple pictures of Tyson with dogs, which is always endearing for us. But can you tell us anything about Tyson personality-wise or how he is off the ice that Flyers fans should know or would appreciate?
One of the things with Tyson that we've always noticed and we've always kind of joked around about with him is he is always smiling all the time. He always looks like he is the happiest human. Like, I think that you mentioning the pictures of him with dogs is good, because I've always kind of referred to him as being kind of like a puppy in the sense that he just looks like he's so happy to always be there. He gets along really, really well with his teammates. Everyone seems to just love him, whether it be the coaching staff, other players. He just always looks like, you know, he's having such a great time, you know. And you watch him kind of the way that he interacts with his teammates in the pregame warm-ups and stuff like that. He seems like he's always being playful with them. And it seems like the guys just always seem to really like him. And last season, or just before last season anyways, I got the chance to do some player interviews. And it was after the website got credentialed with the Colts, that was the first time I actually was able to interview players. And Tyson was the first player that I actually got to interview. And I was incredibly nervous. Here I am with a young kid, and he just, I warmed up immediately. I went from just being nervous, I'm like, I'm going to stutter on everything, which I've already shown in this podcast, I have a possible history of, but he's so likable, and he just seems to, like I said, he's always so happy, and it's really contagious, and you can see that everybody around him kind of thrives off of that, so he's just a joy. You can't help but sit there and smile watching him. So I think that's something that Flyer fans will really, really appreciate about him.
All right. So we have to say a huge thank you to Ryan Noble for joining us. What really good conversation. I'm so excited for Tyson.
Me too.
Yeah. So keeping with that, the Flyer's fun thing is surprise, surprise. About Tyson. This video that we're linking is in Meet the Future, this is when he was at the Top Prospects game earlier this year. And so this was just all of his highlights from that. So you get to see those two goals, one really, really pretty goal for Team White. And you just kind of get to see a little bit of his personality. So I can absolutely see why Ryan says he's just a guy that you can't help but like. So with that, we want to thank everyone so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you, so get your questions in for our weekly mailbag. On Twitter, you can reach us at LockedOnFlyers or LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam.
Now tune into the most recent episode of Locked On NHL.